If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
When the plane's going down and you have your family next to you and the oxygen mask fall off, get your oxygen mask on yourself first. Because when you fix yourself, you're able to save everyone else there versus trying to save someone else and then you don't save yourself.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Corey Iannacone is a lawyer in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and has been practicing law for the past 15 years. In 2016, Corey began his journey into real estate investing while still maintaining his full-time job. In 12 months, Corey went from 2 to 18 units, putting under contract over $1 million in real estate investments during that time. And during the COVID-19 pandemic, from March of 2020 to September of 2020, Corey put under contract an additional 25 units valued just under $2 million in real estate. Corey, welcome to the show.
Hey, Sam. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Man, this is great. This is great. I look forward to you sharing with us kind of your investment journey. I know you are, you know, obviously doing great things in real estate. You also have a background in legal stuff, which we won't want to get into too much today, but really want to focus on what you're doing on the real estate side. Can you tell us, you know, where did you start? Where are you now? And you know, how did you get there?
Yeah. So a little background on me. I'm originally from Maryland, born and raised there. I spent 4 years undergrad in Baltimore at Loyola College. After college, I went directly to law school in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. So I was for 3 years there. While I was in law school, I got a job at a large law firm, second largest in central PA. And they actually asked me to come on full time after I graduated, which was a great position, great spot, right into the corporate world. And I spent 13 years there where I went and climbed the corporate ladder up to partner. Everything great. But after 13 years, there was a group of us, about 9 attorneys, that decided to break off and start our own law firm. So that's what we did. And I think that was a pivotal part in my life, quitting my job and starting a brand new business, because it's different than going from one W-2 job to another W-2 job where the income's always coming in. You start a new job, you're still getting a paycheck. When you literally start a brand new business, there's no money coming in. There's a whole startup period. And for lawyers, we bill out on a monthly basis, right? So when the first month, we're just getting set up, administrative stuff. It's not like we're doing that much work. You know, we are, but still, it's not like full blast. It's really the second month. So really, at the end of the second month, then the bills go out. And then there's another 30-day lag. And assuming, number one, all your clients come with you, it's very Jerry Maguire style when you quit. You know, you're like, hey, we're leaving. Are you coming with us? And they did, which was great. So it was all very successful. And even being very successful, I mean, you have a 4-month lag before you get a paycheck again. And I think during that 4-month lag, you really start thinking to yourself, what kind of financial position am I really in? And trust me, things are great. I wasn't struggling by any means financially, but all of a sudden they go from getting a paycheck every month, you realize the money comes in and it goes right back out the door to pay expenses. There has to be something else. Right around this same time period, I had read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, cliche, like everybody else out there. But I think it really helped me get into the right mindset as far as like, this is answering all the questions I have and even the very issue I have in front of me right now. This is my problem. And this is the answer to my problem. So it really got the gears thinking. I read for a living. I mean, that's my job, lawyer. Doesn't mean I love reading, but I will tell you, I read that book in 2 days on a flight to my sister's wedding in Key West. And I had my 1-year-old and my 3-year-old, they're like sleeping on me and my wife's turning the page to the book. I knocked that thing out because I was like, this is the Holy Grail right here. This is answering all the questions. And it really changed my mind from that point in time. At that point in time, my grandfather passed away 2 years prior and his house was just sitting vacant. Right. And my mother was paying the utilities, the taxes on every month. And there's this big fear when you're getting into real estate. Right. I felt that this was an opportunity sitting right in front of me to at least start the process to mitigate the risk of complete failure, where I had a vacant property right here. I didn't have to go out and buy a property right away. But on the flight back from the wedding, I told my mother, I said, why don't I just take Pop's house off your hands? Let me fix it up for you. rent it out to a really good tenant, and then you'll never have to pay a bill again. But on top of that, you'll get a check every month. So right. It's like, I mean, she was hesitant because it's a different mindset, but she let me do it. That was a very long process. We got through it. And from that, I count that as deal, half a deal, right? Because it's not really a full deal. That catapulted into the duplex I did next in Harrisburg, because you get this bug, you know? And then after that, the day I finished the duplex, I was back on the market looking for another one. I found one within a week and did the next one. And then it basically just snowballed from there to where I am today.
Wow. Wow. So are you still running your law firm today?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that is my job. That's my primary focus. The real estate has always just been a hobby. I mean, people do different things for fun. I literally do this purely for fun. This is something that I can like wake up at 3 a.m. without an alarm clock because it's fun. It's not work to me. And if it ever got to the point where it was a job or work, I have systems in place where I would literally just step away and back off and other people can run it for me. But right now, sure. As long as I'm having fun, I say, you know, I'm doing it. This is my hobby.
Right. And that's what's fascinating to me in your story. And I've got other friends who are attorneys, and it's fascinating to me listening to them kind of share the same, you know, struggle along the way as they are still W-2 employees. I mean, you guys are highly educated. You spend a lot of time poring over books and learning, and yet somehow they haven't made that connection from, hey, you know, I'm out here making a living, but there's an alternate way to do this. And you guys, and that's, I think that's always fascinating as I'm trying to coach a couple of them to kind of step off the cliff and go, hey man, you're in your mid 40s, you're super smart and super successful. You can go out and do this on your own. And it's kind of that leap of faith. And I think that's probably true for everybody, you know, across all W-2 earners. You know, it's that scary step.
That's the problem. It's the fear out there, and everybody has it. I guarantee you every single real estate investor out there has had the fear at every level. Trust me, even the people at the highest level out there still have the fear, and the fear comes from getting out of your comfort zone, I feel. Mm-hmm. So even myself as an attorney, and the W-2 employees out there, I mean, you get comfortable with like, oh, I go to work and I get this paycheck. It's nice and it covers the bills. But when you take that first step and saying, I'm going to do something that's very uncomfortable, right? And you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. That's the problem. It's all mental. Right. It's all in your head too. You spend your time thinking everything that could go wrong, you know, and you have right. to focus on all the things that could go right and just realize things will go wrong. And that's okay. You will get past it. I think that is the problem. And that's what I've been really focusing the last 4 years on. It's not just the real estate, but it's helping myself as a person grow mentally. I'm basically training my mind to think differently and intentionally putting myself into uncomfortable situations, knowing I need to do that if I want to grow.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a key lesson right there, is just getting uncomfortable. I think somebody asked me that last week. They said, what's one piece of advice you'd give me? I said, man, get uncomfortable. Whatever you can do to make yourself step out of what your comfort zone is, that's where growth happens. So go do that. So good for you for taking that plunge. It sounds like you had pretty rapid success, you know, starting to buy things up. At what point did you stop saying, okay, I'm going to invest in, you know, singles? Sound like you would then with the duplexes, but then now you're buying even, you know, what did you say, 8-plexes, 10-plexes? Like what are you buying now, and why did you make that transition?
I think it all came in phases. I think that first one, I told you about a duplex where I'm from in Harrisburg. That was uncomfortable for me at that point in time.
Yeah.
Because number one, I kind of knew what I was doing because I had done my grandfather's house. Remember that? But now mm-hmm. I'm really on my own. And now it requires a real check going out the door. It's real dollars, and it's significant dollars too. And you start thinking everything that could go wrong, but it didn't.
Right.
And we got through it, and it was great, you know? And then you do another one. I feel at some point you're like, now I'm just comfortable doing this. I know how to do it. You know, it's just like the monotony of doing over and over again. And for me, it doesn't become fun anymore. It almost turns it into a job where you're just doing the same thing over and over again. So I always want to better myself and grow. So the next step up for me from that point was doing more at the same time, right? Mm. Well, if I can do one at a time, why don't I try to do like, why don't I buy 3 or 4 deals right now and make them work? So right. That was the next step that I was uncomfortable doing, but it did work out, you know? And then those were all 2 units, 3 units, like you said, but then that got comfortable doing that. So I feel like the next step up was do a bigger deal. Go find something bigger that's out there. And that answer was, I told you, there was an eightplex, eight unit out there. That was more money to throw out there, but it was uncomfortable at the time. And I thought this could go wrong, but we're in the middle of rehabbing that one right now. And it's going well, but I think that's what it is. I think every time I start to feel myself get comfortable or it just turns into a monotony doing the same thing over and over again, I feel like that's the point where I'm always looking to make a change or find something that makes me uncomfortable to push myself to say, okay, now it's time to level up and go to the next step.
Right, man. That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, doing this, of course, running a law firm and then also having your hands in multiple rehabs at the same time, making multiple acquisitions, how have you developed and even going through the lease up? Like, are you managing these yourselves or what systems and processes have you put in place to kind of help you navigate this without getting overwhelmed?
So number one, obviously, I'm not doing any of the work myself. I don't go in there. I don't swing hammers or anything like that.
Understood.
I have been doing it for 4 years. So in the 4 years, I have found very good people, reliable 100%. Something I found very valuable in this business is finding ways to add value to other people. I've noticed my very first contractor, he is the hardest worker I know right out there. And I remember that that when he did my first rehab, he was like, I don't know if you should do all this stuff, you know, make them this nice, you know, just do a little bit here and there. And I was like, no, just trust me, do it. So when I did it, he's like, you'll never get a good tenant in here if it's going to pay that much. And I did. Oh, he did his own two units, right? And then he called me. He's like, oh, man, do you remember how you got those good tenants? Can you do the same for me? I said, no problem. I put two really good tenants in his place. And he's like, well, how much do I owe you? I said, don't worry about it. If you're happy, that's all that matters. He has been a loyal friend to today, you know? And so those are people, when I look to help other people and not look to make money off other people, I find that everything works out in the long run. He is somebody that knows exactly what I want to do for my rehabs, right? I trust him 100%. I don't even get quotes from him. He just goes in there and knocks out the work. And I will write him a blank check because I know it's fair. It's reasonable. And so those are the type of people I want to partner with and work with. So I think that's number one, is finding that team in place of people you trust 100% and just can run with stuff. I will tell you, I just use my time very efficiently. I do get up extremely early in the morning on the weekends. I will be in my office at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. sometimes just to knock out work. And the reason why is because I want to spend my weekend with my family. So I will knock out work till 8 a.m. I will pick up breakfast. I will go right home, have breakfast with my family, and spend the day with my family. That's how I choose to spend my time. And right. I'm still able to, obviously my lawyer job's first. That is my job. I'm devoted to it. So that's where I spend my time. But you find the other spaces to make it all work.
Right, right. No, that's awesome. And finding contractors that you can trust. I mean, that's you've hit the gold mine of what so many of us, especially in the, under 10 unit space. I think it's one thing where you have 200 units, you can hire a monster contractor. Right. A giant GC to run a project like that. But in the 2 to 10 units, it's tough to find somebody that you can implicitly trust that will get your projects done. When it comes to acquisitions, like how are you finding deals? Is there, are realtors bringing these to you? Are you finding them off market or, how have you chosen to grow in that capacity?
All different ways. Name it. I've probably gotten it that way. I found them on MLS, some deals, also through mailers. I've had great success through mailers. And ironically enough, just because of the connections I made with other people, I get phone calls, like property managers, for example. They will show me a property that maybe I saw in the MLS, and I'll just talk to them, tell them what I do. Obviously, I treat everyone with respect and very nice and very friendly with everybody. They've called me before and said, hey, I want to give you a heads up. I got a guy who's looking to sell whatever, any interest in it. So it's not even on market. And so they'll get me in there early. I've bought three deals just doing that, which has been great. And I've done that. You name it, I've done it.
Gotcha. You're doing all the methods available. When it comes to the future, like what does scaling, and I know you said anytime you get comfortable, you say, all right, now we're gonna do the next phase. Like what do you see the future for you in your investing, process to look like?
Yeah. So part of this always is education. I'm educating myself on the syndication process, looking to eventually pool money to do something larger. I don't know exactly when that would happen. I'm still educating myself to get to the spot where I'm like, okay, let's just go ahead and do this. I'm in the middle of a number of rehabs right now going on. So I kind of like to stabilize. Every time I get to the uncomfortable spot, to get myself comfortable, I always stabilize to make sure that we got through it. So I think that's number one priority. That's in the immediate future for me.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You can only put so much out there before at some point you have to say, okay, let's make sure the boat is floating properly and on course. And then, you know, let's take on the next project. Let's jump into the final four if we can. You've got a wealth of experience both on the legal side and obviously on the investing side. And if you were to distill everything you know from both of those perspectives down to one piece of advice, what would that one piece of advice be?
Work on yourself first, always. And that's just life. I don't care about legal, real estate. Work on yourself first. I've used this analogy before, but when the plane's going down and you have your family next to you and the oxygen mask fall off, get your oxygen mask on yourself first. Because when you fix yourself, you're able to save everyone else there versus trying to save someone else and then you don't save yourself. I know it sounds selfish, but trust me, I feel like it makes you a better person at the end of the day. When you're a better person, you become a better father, a better husband, a better son, a better attorney too. I mean, it's helped me be a better attorney. It just puts me in a better positive spot. So that's my number one piece of advice I would give anybody.
Right, right. And that might tie directly into your number two. But what's one thing you're doing to stay on top of your game?
I always move forward, whatever it is. Always moving forward and never stopping. Will Smith gives this story. He tells a story about his father when he was a kid, told him to build this big brick wall. Like he ripped down this wall. He said, I want you to rebuild this wall. Him and his brother were like, there's no way we can build this thing in like the couple months he wants us to do it. But when he focused on just that one brick and said, I'm going to lay that one brick, the best brick has ever been laid. And that was his focus. And then he did the next brick. Before he knew it, he had that brick wall. And it was a great brick wall. So I think people get like so consumed by, oh, I have to build this big brick wall. If you just focus every day on what's that next step and doing it right too. I mean, that's the key. Doing it right and next step and step and you'll get to where you need to be.
Right, right. That's awesome. When it comes to giving back, what's one way you're making the world a better place?
I think it's the real estate investing. I go into these places that have been dilapidated in a community that's seen revitalization, but I'm just part of that process to make sure the community gets turned around and turned into the place I know it can be.
Right. No, that's awesome. Yeah, providing quality. There is that term, you know, slumlord exists for a reason. So if you're providing quality housing for people, that's an absolutely fantastic void to fill. So good for you for doing that. Corey, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Best way is on Bigger Pockets. Link to me through Bigger Pockets. That's where I do all my real estate stuff.
Fantastic. Corey, thank you so much for your time. I certainly appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Sam. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.